And I speak to you in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. When I was 17, 50 years ago, and intent on going to university, it seemed to me that I should use the opportunity to experience life outside the North London culture in which I had been brought up and long since tired. And I was particularly keen to go to Liverpool, which I duly did, because it held out for me a vitality and vibrancy in its culture of wicked humour, thriving pop music, and an active rock scene. This was the home of the Beatles, of Jerry and the Pacemakers, of the ferry across the Mersey, and of the Cavern Club. But by the time I arrived in 1972, all that sadly was gone, although the active ferries remained. The nearest I came to that bygone sea was a visit occasionally to the doctor's surgery at the end of Penny Lane, in the south of the city. And poor, raw and idealistic 18 years old, the pop culture was centred firmly, instead, across the pond in America, and particularly on the artists made famous by a rock festival, billed as 3 days of peace and music, that had occurred in 1969 on a farm outside of New York, near the town of Woodstock, from which it had taken its name, and had attracted audiences of 400,000 people. A documentary film was made about it in 1972, and it began appearing in cinemas in the UK. And for the student at that time, it was the must-see film of the year, particularly if you wanted to impress the girls, which I did, and be thought in today's parlance as cool. The acquisition of LPs, remember those, by the likes of Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, Joe Cocker, Santana, Jimi Hendrix, and Joan Baez, who had all performed at the festival, usually good guaranteed a good turnout in your room for weeks afterwards. Woodstock signaled the height of a counterculture at the time, and many of the songs were of lament and whimsy, the most defining of which came a little after by Joni Mitchell, which is shown at the end of your service sheets, and to which I'd like to just draw your attention now. The ballad reads, I came upon a child of God. He was walking along the road, and I asked him, where are you going? And this he told me. I am going on down to Gasco's farm. I'm going to join in a rock and roll band. I'm going to camp out on the land. I am going to try and get my soul free. And the refrain, we are stardust, stardust, we are golden. We've got to get ourselves back to the garden. And can I walk beside you? I have come here to lose the smog, and I feel to be a cog in something turning. Well, maybe it's just the time of year. Or maybe it's the time of man. I don't know who I am. But you know life is for learning. By the time we got to Woodstock, we were 500,000 strong, and everywhere there was song and celebration. And I dreamed I saw the bombers riding shotgun in the sky. They were turning into butterflies above our nation. We are stardust, billion-year-old carbon. We are golden, caught in the devil's bargain. We've got to get ourselves back to the garden. The contrast is between an original harmony of man with the natural world, a harmony with God and one another, a place of innocence, against the loss of that harmony and that innocence, which becomes the wilderness of our exile. Joni Mitchell's ballad is full of biblical and poetical references. It is a rousing anthem to the romantic ideals of reverence for nature and our common humanity. We are, after all, citizens of the world in today's parlance. And going on down to Yaskar's farm is the hippie reworking of the Garden of Eden, a yearning for a sacred nature, for the earth as paradise now. Such yearnings, of course, continue to inhabit aspects of our continuing and growing environmental concerns. Yet the twice-repeated refrain about being stardust, being golden, and about getting ourselves back to the garden undergoes an important change in its third expression, with the two off-rhymed lines. We are stardust, million-year-old power. We are golden, caught in the devil's bargain, and we've got to get ourselves back to the garden. Of course, when the ballad was first performed, already the dreams and aspirations of the 60s were already in tatters, with the forms of discord and protest, and excesses in sex and drugs, alas, still all too present with us now. But the very title, Woodstock, awakens association of forest, of salt, of lineage, just as the lyrics, too, invoke the idea of a quest for self-knowledge. I don't know who I am, but life is to learn. Learning something more than what a machine-like world of smog and pollution seems to offer. Then can I walk beside you? The narrative voice asks, in an image that evokes Christ walking with his disciples on the road to Emmaus. But is the goal to get ourselves back to the garden? It is not in the Christian understanding. We forget that paradise, the Garden of Eden, is and always meant to be a starting place and not a stopping place. There is no getting back to the garden. There is only the long way of journeying to the paradise of God, to a learning in the wilderness of who we are in the sight of God. Put it another way, there's no getting back to nature without getting back to God. And here in today's second lesson from the Gospel of St. Mark, we have one of the several accounts of the miraculous feeding of the multitude by Jesus in the wilderness desert of Judea. The story not only looks back to the loss of paradise that results in the wilderness of human experience, but it also calls attention to God's provisions for us in our wanderings in the wilderness. Life, indeed, is for learning. It is about learning about sin and grace, learning about the providential goodness and care of God for our wounded and broken humanity. He is the Lord of all power and might, the author and giver of all good things, as Pollock today puts it. This is what we are meant to learn and to know. God, in his infinite goodness, makes our way to him, even out of our sin and evil. He nourishes us with all goodness, even in the desert wilderness of our lives, when we are lost in our own insecurities, self-absorbed in our own vanities, and empty in our conceits. Left to ourselves, we can only faint by the way. Yet St. Mark tells us the multitude was very great, and they are in the wilderness, having nothing to eat. It is a telling image of our human condition. We lack the means of our own self-sufficiency because of our sin and pride, our arrogance and ignorance. The wilderness is within each of us. But to know that is a starting point. Something is seen and sought in Jesus being with us. He is God with us, as the story suggests, by its obvious allusions to God's provision for the children of Israel in the desert wanderings of the Exodus, with provision of manna from on high, water from the stricken rock, as we heard in our first lesson and in our psalm. Not much, it may seem. Of course, we complain, even to the point of looking back longingly to our captivity in Egypt, murmuring against what God provides. The lessons are hard, but necessary. For in the wilderness, the people of Israel learn the law. It's not about getting back to the garden in which we have exiled ourselves. It is in fact about learning the will of God for us wherever we are. God makes a great abundance out of little things, a mere 7 loaves and a few small fish. Yet it is enough. We are fed in the wilderness of our lives. It is a foretaste of heaven. The imagery is clearly and unambiguously Eucharistic. He took, gave thanks, and broke, and gave to his disciples to set before them, so they ate and were filled. There is more than enough. They took up the broken meat that was left of 7 baskets. A miracle, undoubtedly. The miracle is the compassion of Christ. I have compassion on the multitude, Jesus says, because they have now been with me 3 days. In our quest to know and learn, we are fed and nourished by word and sacrament. Our satisfaction is not found in utopian projects, vainly trying to get back to the garden. It is found instead in Christ, who alone can satisfy us here in the wilderness. Our satisfaction is nothing less than his compassion, and it is in him that we find the paradise of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.